Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 556. It's 11th of August 2016. On the podcast today, Ed Dawson, CEO and Managing Director of Prospects Oil and Gas, PXOG, answers private investor questions. Also on the podcast, CEO of Kibo Mining, Louis Coetzee, talks about their definitive agreement with Lake Victoria Gold. Plus, have Chris Bailey, founder of Financial Orbit, talks about TUI Group and Thomas Cook Group. Plus, have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. And exciting news. I'm not going to say what, but listen out. Or go to the website. Go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog and click the link there. Plus, today's suggested one for your watch list is, it's a revisit. Because I think it's now an interesting position here. It's Motive Bio and MTFB. And like I said, these are all investment ideas. Please don't make any investment decisions based on anything you hear in this podcast. Do your own research. But I'll get to the reasons why Porkchop Minty submitted Motive Bio in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Ed Dawson, CEO and Managing Director of Prospects Oil and Gas, ticker PXOG. Ed, thanks for coming back on.
Well, thank you, Justin. Thank you for inviting me. And hello to all the listeners.
Yeah, well, listen, we've had a lot of interest and, you know, had you on last time, I'm very interested, and you've had a bit of news out since. Before we get to the news, and we've got some investor questions as well to put to you, before we get to that, for people who are unaware of what you do, Ed, could you give us a brief summary of what you're all about at Prospects Oil and Gas?
Yeah, we're an investment company specialising in oil and gas, quoted on AIM. Our major investment is in a company called Hutton Poland. Hutton Poland, as the name would suggest, has some assets in Poland. The principal asset is the Kolo license, where Hutton is going to go and drill the Boldslaw prospect this fourth quarter this year. It's 87 BCF in a mid-case of gas. It's spread over two horizons. You know, it's a shallow well. It's a relatively cheap well in the industry. And we're targeting... there's a CPR on our website for all the details, but basically targeting an NPV of £5 to £65 million.
Okay, excellent. Marvellous. And just before we get the questions, I've got to say you raised £775,000 yesterday. I've got to say that because some of the questions are based around that, so people don't know that. So let's go to the questions. And first and foremost is... this one. A lot of shareholders assumed you had enough cash for the drilling. Why did you raise now? I've got to point out the drilling is happening in Q4, isn't it?
Yeah. Why did we raise cash now? I don't want to blame Brexit by any means. I mean, ultimately, you know, the company is responsible for itself. But certainly, Brexit has been a catalyst for some of our thinking here. Hutton Poland's costs are in euros and dollars. They actually have hedged basically their dry hole cost, but that their general costs will have gone up this year against the budget. Prospects, we've always had some contingency on our balance sheet to enable Hutton Poland to come back to us for whatever reason, whether they want to take the project further, more in depth, etc. Effectively, still believe, you know, Hutton Poland could go and drill the well today without coming back to us. However, Brexit has done is demonstrated that things that all the pundits think won't happen could happen. And effectively, I see it like this. I mean, you know, if we were going for a walk for the weekend in the Lake District, you know, we've set off from home, you know, well packed, in the car with all our kit, got to the bottom of the mountain and found that we've run out of the water's disappeared. Or some of the water's disappeared. Do we go into the supply shop and get ready for so we can do it properly, safely, give Hutton Poland the flexibility to do what is in the best interest long term of the project? We've decided to do that. So the funds, and we now have funds in our mind, we've topped up the contingency. And also, as I say, we always anticipated we getting past you know, the key decision point with the well. Is the gas there? That's the same here. But in fact, what they've started to do is look further than that, how to take the project forward. You know, do they want to do an extended flow test straight away, etc., etc. So we've now got, in our minds, some good flexibility in the budget, importantly, for if the unforeseen happens, but also take the project forward in a better, more detailed, more efficient manner.
Okay, so it's essentially, you know, we saw that, like you said, the Brexit there, our currencies dropped 10% and against euro, 15% against dollar, and it's pretty much a safety net, contingency just in case, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think all businesses plan with contingency, or should do, and we've done that. But as I say, setting out just for the journey, we wanted the contingency. The contingency is for operational reasons. If that's changed, it would be unwise. Certainly when funds have been offered to us, and they have been offered to us over the last 4 weeks on numerous occasions.
Okay.
The board is, I should say, you know, the board has turned those down for a number of reasons. The conditions attached to the funding, the desire to have warrants, all these undesirable terms.
Yeah. Okay, marvellous. Next question is, why was the raise not at a higher price?
I think it's, again, comes back to having, we were offered, I can't, as a CEO, ignore offer of funding. I have to take it to my board. And we've done that, as I said, on a couple of occasions and turned it down. How I think, you know, funders generally expect a discount. You know, it was negotiated and it is where it is.
Okay. All right. Next question is, is there any further placings required, or will this money now last to the next drill?
Absolutely, there's no more funding required for the drilling, as far as we're concerned. The basic drilling is very well covered, and we can go into testing, extended testing, and all sorts of things.
Okay, good stuff. What's the expected drill cost for the Bolslaw prospect?
I'm going to be slightly vague here, Justin, if you don't mind. Hutton Poland are in final negotiations with a couple of rig contractors. The dry hole costs are what we, you know, have always expected, around €1 million.
Okay, marvellous. Next question.
Go on. That gets us to, you know, if on a success case, you'd probably increase that by 50% to, do a full test, wireline logging, etc., and casing it back, and then probably another €500,000 on an extended test.
Okay, all right. Next question is, how will you ensure that there are no delays in the Q4 drilling process?
I think it's all about detailed planning and using experienced personnel who have done it before. One of the key things we announced alongside the placing was securing the lease for the land, the farmland, where the drill rig is going to do the drilling. To me, that was a key moment in deliverability, because we were dealing with individuals or an individual there, as opposed to an experienced group of people who have done it before. So they may have, may not, you know, worked to a time frame that we would have liked to have done. But they've done that. Okay. They've been very cooperative.
Excellent. Next question is 3-in-1 kind of thing here. It says, do you have a spud date for the drilling? How long will the drill take? And how long to put the production after you've drilled it?
The guys internally have a target very early in Q4. I'm not going to elaborate further than that now. Mm-hmm. How long will the drilling take? Mm-hmm. They're expecting 22 days. would be a sort of standard, down to TD. But we, you know, there's may or may not take slightly longer than that. I have seen they've quoted for 31 days of accommodation. So there's a couple of days of putting the rig up and taking it down again. This is in a dry hole case.
Okay. All right, cool. Next one, this is how long to put it into production after you've drilled it?
I think the best thing I can do is point to the CPR. That is assuming cash flow in 2019.
Okay, marvellous. All right, next question. Do you have any seismic and field development work you can talk about?
Yes. If the question is referring to Bolslaw, that work's been done. There's obviously, you know, we've not done any more work on the seismic because we have a drill target and all that set. Field development work, again, has not progressed further than the work that we've done for the CPR. Detailed work now is reliant on what actually we got. So that will, the results of the well will feed into that very quickly, importantly. However, we do have what we believe is a oil lead on the block. It's deeper, it's around 3,000 metres, very significant in size, again, for a small company like ourselves. We have raised the subject of shooting a bit more seismic to infill for that with our partners, though nothing has gone further than that.
Okay, all right. And the last question here, Ed, is how do you see yourself maximising shareholder value?
I think... I don't want to sound contrite here, but I think one of the things is important things is giving ourselves the best opportunity to access, our share of the £95 million worth of net NPV. And therefore, that ultimately is one of the reasons why we've raised the funds. It puts back some flexibility into the budget. I'd hate to have done things in a cost... It's always cost-conscious manner you do things, but you know what I mean. Would have cut corners or caused an issue. So I think that is our primary target at the moment, is giving ourselves the best opportunity to access that. And that is very successful, well-executed well. Long-term... I think it's doing detailed and quality work. It's a buyer's market. If we wanted to sell the asset or if we wanted to develop the asset, again, you'd be looking to maybe debt finance some of that. So again, it's quality technical work with as much information to give people confidence in the what would be at that stage the Bolshaw discovery.
Okay, well, listen, Ed, if anyone needs any more convincing as to why they should add Prospect Oil and Gas to their Vox Markets watchlist, can you give us three reasons, please?
Yeah, we do have a strong team. There is going to be strong news flow now. We are at that stage of build up into this well. As I say, the guys are finalising the contract. We intimated at our AGM that we were going to sign the lease. We've done that. Again, the guys are delivering. And I go back to superb value. Look at the figures in the CPR. Slightly cheeky of me, but I know that I've seen some of the comments about dilution at this stage. That is largely, that's happened. But I would also like to remind the guys who are looking at a value of the prospect is to redo their sums on the latest currency, because in pound terms it's gone up again. So yes, yeah, there has been some dilution at on a share basis, but it did occur to me this morning that actually a lot of that dilution has been covered by the depreciation in the pound. So yeah. things are good. I think I really do believe we are certainly today in a lot stronger position than we were a couple of days ago. And I think are actually in a lot stronger position than we were after the placing. You know, there is now more headroom in the budget. It's more headroom to take this thing further and do ultimately a really good job on it.
Marvellous. Ed, thanks for speaking to me, and hopefully we'll speak again soon when you have some more news.
Yeah, thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Kibo Mining, KIBO ticker. It's Louis Coetzee. You right, Louis?
Good morning, Justin. Yes, 100%. When you're in the Cape, you're always okay.
Yes, you're in Cape Town there, are you?
Yes, I am.
Lovely. And how's the weather down there?
Well, it's a glorious 22 degrees at the moment.
Okay, good, nice. It's not too bad here. It's getting colder, but at least it's not raining. So it's a good start of the day. All right, Louis, so you've had some news out. And this was yesterday. You signed a definitive agreement with Lake Victoria Gold, the consolidation of the Imweru and Imwelo gold projects. Can you take us through that, please, Louis? But before that, I mean, I always like to do this because there are new people tuning in all the time. Can you give us a sort of quick summary as to what Kibo's all about? Because I know you've got a lot on your plate there, a lot going on.
Yeah, well, just a quick summary, Justin. Kibo is a multi-commodity explorer and developer in Tanzania, mostly developing. We are focusing most of our attention at the moment on three flagship projects: our Haneti Nickel project, our Imweru Gold project, which is the subject of yesterday's announcement, and then, of course, also our Mbeya Coal to Power project, which is a 300-megawatt mine mouth coal-fired power station.
Yeah, and like I said, for sub 20 million market cap at the moment, showing about 17.3 million market cap, a lot of projects on the go. So take us through this last bit of news that I mentioned, the definitive agreement with Lake Victoria Gold.
Yes, we announced earlier in June a memorandum of understanding with Lake Victoria Gold, where we were looking at consolidating our Imweru project with their Imwelo project. For the reasons that we announced then as well, it just makes a lot of sense from a commercial point of view, from a technical point of view, from an operational point of view. So it just put us in that position where one and one no longer adds up to two, but maybe four or five. Now, over the last month and a half, we were busy with extensive due diligence, and we looked at these projects respectively, and we were able to sign an agreement yesterday, definitive agreement, where we will now consolidate these two projects. Consolidation brings us to a point where we have a combined resource statement of about 770,000 ounces now. We have a very clear and imminent line of sight to production, where we will hopefully see first production in first quarter of 2018. That will quickly ramp up to 50,000 ounces per annum, and we hope to, immediately after achieving that, to go up to 100,000 ounces per annum. We are making that statement on the basis that we believe that we are within a very realistic reach of getting the resource up to above a million ounces very shortly in the near future. So all in all, a situation where we have a project now that makes a lot of sense from a resource level. We hope to see a million ounces and more very shortly. We also have a very realistic and achievable production target with a lot of upside involved in that. And then also, from an operational point of view, we see the combination of our skill set with that of Lake Victoria, which will just enhance our ability and capacity to bring this to production within the timelines that we've stated so far.
Yeah, and you've got a very clear plan here, and you're doing as you say, you're ticking all the checkboxes as going along, and like you said, 24 to 30 months away from production there, and yet we've seen a bit of weakness in the share price the last 2 days. Any idea why this is? Because to me, on the chart now, you're heading towards a good support level, a very interesting level for new investors, I suppose, but have you any idea in the short term why the share price has just dipped the last 2 days?
Absolutely not. I don't, in my view, the announcement that we put out yesterday is an extremely good announcement. It's extremely good news for new potential new investors, as you've correctly stated, but also offering shareholders. It was in line with our strategy, with the company's strategy that we've been following for the last 3 years. This is one of the first major value realization opportunities for our shareholders. And you would note in yesterday's announcement, we made the point where we said we intend giving the shares that we get in Katoro, or the new project company, to distribute that to our shareholders. That's our intention. Now, that's a significant value realization. It's also an opportunity for our shareholders where they see value realizing in their hands. We also said in that announcement that we've already done quite a bit of the work preparing this project for listing. So it means that it is not something that we now look to do since we signed the agreement yesterday. It's already underway, and it is properly underway. So all those things taken into consideration. Oh, yeah, and maybe the most important point is the fact that we've been able to do this without any further dilution to our shareholders. So our shareholders will get value without any further dilution. In other words, we've done it, said we will, without going back to the market to raise money, further money, for the development of this project. And we don't intend doing that. That's why we've signed this transaction. So if you consider all these things, your guess is as good as mine as to why the share price has dropped.
Yeah, but listen, you know, there's two sides to every coin. And so, like you said, you may be a bit annoyed because you've released some good news. But for investors or potential investors, this is maybe a potential opportunity here, Louis, isn't it?
Well, exactly right. That's what we tried to say in yesterday's announcement as well. I believe this is an opportunity for investors. This is an opportunity for the company. It's an opportunity for new investors. And you know, one other thing that I think what one should also bring into play here is that by doing this, we've actually been able to give our shareholders access to a much larger project than the one that we had on our books. They will now be participating in a project that has got proper economy of scale.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Louis, listen, I'm following you on Vox Markets. You're on my watch list. For other people now, maybe taking advantage of this short-term weakness in share price, could you give them three reasons why they should put Kibo Mining on their Vox Markets watch list, please?
I think maybe I can put it this way to be as concise as possible. The first instance, our projects are real. Two, we don't subscribe to the business of creating perceived value. We create real value. And in brackets behind that, that takes time. Thirdly, we have the ability, we have the will, and the capacity to do it. And that you don't see a lot in the markets these days.
Yeah, exactly. Marvellous, Louis. I love it to chat to you. And like I said, you're a company with a lot going on, so there's always news coming out, and I look forward to speaking to you in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you very much, Justin. Nice talking to you again.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey from financialorbit.com. Chris, thanks for coming back on, fella.
Yeah, absolutely delighted to be here.
Now, we're going to cover a macro bit of news and also look at some equity or a equity worth putting on our watch list there. First and foremost, I know you're quite interested about this, some of the UK government debt turned negative. Take us through that, Chris.
Yeah, it's absolute madness, isn't it? So let's get this right. Yesterday, effectively, if you wanted to buy a 10-year government gilt, so basically, you know, a bit of paper which the government, you could lend to the government for 10 years, you're going to get just over 0.5% a year interest or yield on that, which is absolutely nothing. Record lows in that. Obviously, it's following some of the big global trends. And I'd just like to say, this feels like complete and utter madness. Now, yes, it's reflecting the fact that interest rates are ultra low. Yes, it's reflecting the fact that Bank of England last week did some more QE and related stimulus. But, you know, if we think about bond yields, a bond is what is known as a fixed principal investment. You can't make more money on it than you invest in it, plus the stream of yields that you get. So the income you get off a bond is the key attribute. And people are just not being rewarded sufficiently at this moment in time for me to get excited about any form of fixed interest investment. I say from a big picture perspective, you're much better off in a selection of interesting equities, probably yielding you a hell of a lot more than a selection of fixed interest securities than you are in anything in the bond market. So, you know, if people are worrying out there that asset allocation wise, what should I be doing? Equities, bond, cash, and all of that usual gubbins, I would suggest a bit of cash for dry powder to put into your favorite stocks as and when you get an opportunity, and generally max out on equities versus fixed interest. Far yeah. better value today's markets in equities.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what they want, isn't it? I mean, essentially, it's at the moment, the only game in town is the stock market, as we know, because you're not getting any return anywhere else. And so that's why we've seen the stock market sort of at highs when fundamentally it isn't being supported by that. So, yeah, I suppose it's a no-brainer going for the stock market, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what's interesting, Justin, and that is you're absolutely right. Markets are kicking around all-time highs in many parts of the world. But if you look at what I would call the mix is really interesting because lots of the sort of the very big and safe and defensive companies are at mega multi-year highs and in some cases mega valuations as well. And the slightly more grisly set of sectors, things like industrials or commodity-facing stocks or financials, of course, are not. And therein lies maybe more the opportunity in markets today. It's in mix. You know, even though I would say to people, buy equities, you know, bias your portfolios towards equities, I would also very strongly say, don't buy tracker funds. You know, yeah. There are too many interesting individual equity opportunities out there to be tracking an index. And my instinct would be over the next 3 to 5 years, you'll do an awful lot better in a selection of interesting equities than you will do in a tracker fund, which may be cheaper, but I don't think it's going to give you those sorts of returns which, as I say, a careful selected group of equities might. Of course, the trick is to find the right ones, but obviously that's what you and I are both trying to do.
Exactly. Well, with that in mind, I mean, I've often been accused of not having enough commentators who cover bigger cap stocks to put on their Vox Markets watch list. So highlight the company, Chris, with a bit of news out recently that you think is worth, you know, people adding follow and following these companies. Name one, for example.
So the one I think today, in today's results crop, you've got to be looking at is TUI. So TUI, world's biggest tour operator, fascinating company. The shares, the numbers are out today, which are actually pretty good. And the headline, which everyone's focusing on, is that they basically said Brexit not been too big a problem for us recently. Now, we know that the tour operators have been beaten up on a few things. Yes, Brexit has been a concern if they've got a big UK business, but also you've had geopolitics and some of the very unfortunate events around the world which have nobbled travel to certain parts of North Africa or Turkey and related. But the thing about the tour operators is they've seen it all before. They've been around in many cases for decades, not 100 plus years. They've seen all these issues and they just adjust and change. Often they don't own, you know, the whole group. They've got a lot of flexibility in their operations. And guess what? People are still going on a holiday, but they're going to Spain or Portugal or other parts of the world rather than the Turkeys and the Tunisians or Egypts. And you can see this in the TUI numbers. The numbers are absolutely fine. And for me, the group, if you look over the last year, has traded between about 800 pence and about 1300 pence a share. And it's about in the middle of that range now. So anyone talking about Fibonacci 50% retracements and stuff like that would be very excited here. But for me, I'm a fundamentalist. And what I see is a company with a relatively low valuation at this moment in time, good cash flow generation, good, reasonable dividend, and actually in terms of the business they operate, actually relatively sensible. I'd say TUI is interesting here. I would say their peer, Thomas Cook, which is probably slightly better known to your average UK investor, is looking amazingly interesting here. Yes, a company with a little bit of controversy in its past, no doubt about that, but you can only invest going forward. Say Thomas Cook at about 60p here looks absolutely stunningly good value. And I'd even say, on record, that I think it's much more likely to go to a quid, 100 pence a share, than it is to go back to 50 pence a share, which I would suggest from a 60p share price is pretty good risk-reward.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at the TUI share price on the chart here, and it's interesting because we had almost a triple top over the last sort of year or so, like you said, around about £13 there, and it came all the way back down to 840. I mean, it's bounced. It's about 10.50 now. And that level is quite interesting because that was basically the support from those, that triple top, double bottom support. So if it breaks this, it looks like it's going higher, and it's gone higher today, of course, on those figures. So we're at an interesting level, and definitely one worth putting on your watch list there.
Yeah,
along with Thomas Cook, like you said. Yeah,
absolutely. I think interesting area. Look, ultimately, people still want to go on holiday. The reality is that some of the actions that we've seen, lower interest rates, the fact that clearly the authorities are looking to stimulate the economy. Yes, there is uncertainty out there, and yes, we will come back to the whole Brexit debate and Article 50 and all of those things that just make our heads spin. But the reality is that these tour operators, they're trading too cheaply at this moment in time. And it's terrible to say, but, you know, they're looking forward. You must always, whenever there's a terrible event in the world and it hits the share prices of these sorts of operators or the cruise ship companies, etc., you know, that may buy additional tactical opportunities from a purely financial, you know, share price perspective. But I have to say today, risk reward looks good, and I'd be a buyer of both shares.
Marvellous. Thanks, Chris. Speak next week, hopefully.
Sounds good.
Okay, time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are slipping down two places at five, Sound Energy, SOU, and new entry at four, Microsaic Systems, MSYS, is at number four. And at three, up two places from yesterday's number five, is Mayen Energy, MYN. At number two, Ed, who I chatted to earlier, will be pleased. It's Prospect Oil and Gas, PXOG. But for 2 days on a trot, at number one, it's Harvest Minerals, HMI. Hopefully, Brian will be coming on the podcast very soon to chat about their prospects. Okay, talking about watch lists, here's one for your watch list suggested by Pork Chop Minty. Now, this is a revisit. This was suggested a few weeks back, but I brought it back up because I think this company is an interesting position share price-wise. And like I said, you know, you've got to buy it at the right price. A good company at the right price is the ultimate combination. And this is Motive Bio. Now, they've slipped back because they've delayed their NASDAQ listing. Something to do with pricing, but they said they'll make this clear to investors in the near future. But it's still happening. So what does the company do? It is a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company which specializes in developing novel antibiotics designed to be effective against serious and life-threatening infections caused by multi-drug-resistant bacteria. And I didn't know. I read a bit about this. I read a blog post a while back. And apparently now, if something's not done now about antibiotics, in 5 years' time, we can suffer fatalities due to small infections, because antibiotics are used all the time, but these bugs are becoming super resistant to these drugs. So, how many shares does the company have an issue? 108 million. Current price on market cap, obviously this has changed. This was a bit higher than this. But now, so today, about 50 pence, and it's 54 million market cap. What revenue and profit does the company generate? None at the moment. How much cash or debt does the company have? Motive Bio successfully raised £22 million via institutional fundraising a while back. And like I said, do your own research on this MTFB. List three reasons why you think this company has potential. One, may soon list on NASDAQ, giving exposure to big specialist investors and biotech funds, giving serious share price upside potential. Two, hugely undervalued when compared to similar companies such as Kempra, was it Sempra, and Paratech. And three, Ilcaprim is a late-stage antibiotic, huge potential, huge market for a product the world is desperate for. Could be on the market by 2018. And I think, you know, it's a very interesting company. It is one of those companies that has, you know, super potential. But like I said, do your own research, please. MTFB. That's today's one for your watch list. And if you want to bring a stock to people's attention and it's a stock you think should be on people's watch list, then please go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog and click the link there for one of my blogs. You see a link there to fill out the form. By the way, listen, I'm starting a new feature on the podcast here. And essentially, Saints and Sinners, the most liked and disliked RNSs of the day. So all you need to do if you're on the Vox Markets platform there is click the thumbs up or thumbs down button at the top of every RNS you see, or any RNS you think is positive or negative, and I'll be reflecting this on the podcast. And I think it's a really good sort of judge, a roundup of the RNSs, because there's so many released in a day. So I'll go through the top few, top most liked and disliked. At the moment, it's only on the website and mobile site, but it will be on the app hopefully next week. But if you do use the website in the morning or the mobile site, then please click the thumbs up or thumbs down if you read an RNS. Tell me what you think of it, and I'll tell everyone else. Thanks so much for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.